1 Corinthians chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and while you guys are making your way there, I just wanted to start by kind of giving you the big idea of the message. Obviously, we're going to teach on the resurrection of Jesus. And as Todd said, that everything collapses if the resurrection didn't happen. And so, but this is the big idea of the message. It's this: if Jesus didn't rise, then nothing matters. But if he did, then everything matters, everything changes, including our lives. And so let me start by asking us a question here this morning. What if all of this isn't true? What if Jesus didn't rise from the grave? What if the tomb was still filled with a body? What if everything that we're doing here, you come to church, we sang some songs, what if all of this is just meaningless tradition? What if everything that we're doing here in your lives, for those who have aligned their lives with Christ, what if everything does, if Jesus didn't rise, then nothing matters and we've built our lives on a lie? See, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we aren't just a little off, but we are completely deceived. The Bible is a lie and God is a liar. See, the Bible doesn't avoid these questions. The Bible doesn't avoid this topic. In fact, Paul lays out for us in 1 Corinthians 15 that everything that we build our lives on as followers of Jesus collapses if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. But we know the real story. We know the truth that Jesus did rise. But what Paul does, he gives us five statements that are true if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And so we have to understand a little bit of context as we're looking at 1 Corinthians. So Paul is writing to a church context in the area of Corinth, okay? Now, there was a couple things that started to happen in Corinth, that the believers, the Christians, those who had professed Christ, had started to believe that the resurrection of the dead was impossible. So they started to align their hearts with the Sadducees of Jesus' day that outright denied the resurrection of the dead. And Paul saw a problem because there were some believers that believed in Jesus' teaching. They believed that he was a good moral person. They believed in spirituality and faith, but they denied that Jesus actually rose from the grave. And there's people that would profess Christ today that say the exact same thing. But I would say this: if Jesus did not rise, then everything that we're doing here today in our lives is a complete and total waste of time and lie. So what does that mean? That means that I better make a good argument for the resurrection, right? That means what we say we believe here better be true, or else we're wasting decades of our lives believing something that is false, that's leading us to a false God, that's leading us to a complete and utter outer darkness from God. So what's happening here is the disbelief of the resurrection is beginning to creep into the church, and Paul addresses it. And let's be honest, that same kind of skepticism and denial of the resurrection happens today. People try to explain it away. We're okay with spirituality. We're okay with faith. We're okay with going to even church, especially here in the South, right? This is just what we do. We come to church at least twice a year on Christmas and Easter, right? And we're here, and I'm okay with that, right? But hold on, when you start talking about the resurrection, and we start talking about that needing to do something in my life where I actually have to make a change, I can't just align myself with Christ and go on living the way that I want to, that's when people start to pump the brakes and realize that, hold on, I don't know if I necessarily believe in the resurrection, because if someone died and raised from the dead, like he said he was going to, predicted it, and then did it, then we better align our lives with that person, right? Have you guys ever seen, I love magic tricks. I know they're not magic, but I love them. And there's this guy, he does card tricks, and he's on Instagram, and he'll like take a coin, he'll like say, what card do you want? Doesn't matter. Six of spades. He'll shuffle the deck and just like do this whole wash thing and take a coin and flip it up and it falls on that card. And he's like, oh, what do you know? And I'm like, this guy has got black magic or something. You know what I mean? Like, he's an actual demon. What is going on here? right? But when we see something so unbelievable become believable, we're like, wow, I'm locked in. I am loaded. I want to know more about that. And so that's my hope, is that we look at the resurrection of Jesus, that that would cause interest in our lives to not only agree with Jesus, but start to model our lives after Jesus. And so if there is no resurrection, then everything collapses. But if there is a resurrection, then everything in our lives must change. So if you will, we'll read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 12. We'll read through the end of verse 19 this morning. It says this, Paul writing to the believers who are starting to believe that the resurrection was impossible, that did not happen. He says, now if Christ, verse 12, is preached. So if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep, those who have died trusting in Jesus, trusting in God, have perished. If in this life only we have hope, Christ, or in Christ, if in this life, if we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So Paul makes five statements that are true if Christ is not risen. The first one is this: if Christ didn't rise, then our faith is empty. The second one, if Christ didn't rise, then we are misrepresenting God. We're calling God a liar, and we're coming against his character and his integrity. And number three, if Jesus didn't rise, then we're still dead in our sins. That's not good. Number four, if Jesus didn't rise, then death wins. And the last one is if Jesus didn't rise, then we are losers. We're pitiful. We should be pitied, Paul says. These are strong words from the Apostle Paul. These aren't my words. I'm literally just reading from the text. That's the beautiful thing about teaching expositorially. You literally just read what the Bible says, and you say, look, this is how we apply it to our lives. It's not me adding what I think is good. I'm telling you exactly what the Apostle wrote through the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus didn't rise, we are in trouble, essentially is what Paul is getting at. So let's look at verses 12 through 14 in the first statement that he makes. And it's this: if Jesus didn't rise, then our faith is empty. Verse 13, 14, it says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then my preaching, right, our preaching is empty, and our faith, your faith, my faith is also empty. See, Paul says that eternity hinges on the resurrection. Good Friday, we celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. But on Sunday, we celebrate the culmination of the cross in the resurrection of Jesus. And eternity hinges on the fact that the resurrection did in fact happen and that Jesus is alive and well today. If Jesus didn't rise, then my preaching is empty, your faith is empty, and we're all wasting our time here this morning. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to waste. I certainly don't want to waste it in coming to church, right, if this is a lie. But if it's not a lie, then we're not wasting our time. We're investing in eternity. We are growing in the faith and the knowledge that we have of Christ. And what we're doing effectively is we are being Jesus with skin on to others so that they might come to know the power of the resurrection in and through your life. So Paul says that if Christ didn't rise, then nothing matters as it pertains to the Christian walk. This gathering, pointless. The worship that we sang is empty. God's word is powerless to change. It's basically written by well-intended men who want to help you live, you know, be the better you in seven steps. But there's no power in this to actually transform and change lives if Christ did not rise. The next statement he makes in verse 15 and 16, it says this: if Jesus didn't rise, then we are misrepresenting God. And this is a big one. In verse 16, it says, It says, and yes, we are also found false witnesses of God. The apostles didn't say that this is just our opinion. The apostles didn't say that we believe that Jesus rose, however you say that. The apostles did say that God did raise Christ from the dead. That God himself testified of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if this didn't happen, we're essentially calling the apostles and we're calling God a liar. We're coming against his character. We're coming against his word. Now this becomes fallible, and then we can go on living our lives any way we want. So if we can deconstruct the word of God, then we can go and live our lives any way we want, because there is no absolute morality in truth. Truth becomes relative, and your truth becomes your truth, and my truth becomes my truth. But because this is the infallible, inerrant word of God, that we have to live our lives in accordance with this, there is one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes through the Father except through me. And because this is the infallible word of God, that God cannot be a liar. That means the resurrection had to have happened. And that means there's power in the resurrected life for you and me today to live in newness of life, as 1 Corinthians tells us. So if Jesus is still in the grave, then this is just a book written by well-intended individuals. But at the end of the day, you just do what you want. There's no accountability, right? There's no judgment. There's no crowns that we're going to be able to cast down at Jesus' feet later. Nothing matters. Just go live your life. Do your thing. Isn't it sad that that's how most of the world lives today? As if they're not going to face final judgment, as if they're not going to see Jesus face to face one day and have to give an account for every word spoken, every deed acted upon. But here's the encouraging thing, church. Jesus did rise, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But you know what? We will stand before his righteous judgment, and every wrong will be righted. Every way that we have been mistreated will be taken care of. All of our sins will be wiped as far as the east is from the west. That is the hope of the resurrection that we have in and through Jesus Christ. So if Jesus didn't die, then we misrepresent God. And finally, worst of all, the next statement that Paul makes is this: if Jesus didn't die, then you are dead in your sins as well as me. Look at verse 17. It says, and if Christ did not rise, then your faith, it's futile. And you are still in your sins. This is where it all comes together. This is why the resurrection matters. If Jesus didn't rise, then you and I are done for. There is no hope. There is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. The debt was not fully paid. The check didn't cash, if you will. See, the cross and the resurrection go hand in hand. You can't have the crucifixion of Jesus without the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus is the receipt that the payment on the cross cleared. So if Jesus did not rise, that means the cross didn't work, Jesus died in vain, and we are wasting our time here this morning. Our sin cannot be forgiven. Our guilt cannot be removed. Our sin still belongs to us, and one day we will stand before God and have to pay the penalty of my sin, and you'll have to pay the penalty of your sin before a holy God on your own. That's bad news. That means your guilt is still yours, that your shame is still yours, and that you have to stand and pay the penalty before the Lord. Verse 18, Paul makes another statement. He says, look, if Jesus didn't rise, then death wins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Fallen asleep is a nice way of saying died. If Jesus didn't rise, then every believer's funeral that you've ever been to is final. It's gone. The preacher was a liar. There is no hope to see them again one day. There is no heaven. There's no heavenly reunion. There's no future. Death didn't just hurt that person, but death kept that person. No resurrection means no victory. No victory over death means no eternal life. No eternal life means every funeral we've ever been to is final. Every goodbye is permanent. every grave victorious. And finally, Paul makes the last point that you and I are pitiful if Jesus didn't rise. He says, look in verse 19, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful or pitiable. I'm going to say pitiful because that sounds better. But we are pitiable, aren't we, if Christ did not rise? We've wasted our time telling people about, how many of you guys know a fisherman, right? They always have a story, don't they? They're full of it most of the time, right? Essentially, that's you and I if Jesus didn't rise. The good news, right, isn't good news at all. It's propaganda. Paul is saying, if this isn't true, if Jesus didn't rise, if we don't have power in and through his resurrection, then we've built our whole life on a lie. The sacrifice that we make as believers, worthless. The surrender is we are pitiful and pitiable. Living differently, trying to not cut people off on the freeway, cuss at somebody, steal from your employer, cheat on your tax, all those things that we try not to do as followers of Jesus, you might as well go ahead and do them if Jesus didn't rise. Because nothing matters. It's all for nothing. Now, I realize this message hasn't been very hopeful so far, has it? You're like, what the heck, Kyle? We get it. Okay, it's bad. But I did that on purpose. And here's why. Because there's absolutely no hope without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are pitiable. If Jesus didn't rise, as the kids say, we're cooked. But here's the good news, you guys. Look at verse 20. Read it with me. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. That's a clapping moment. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. But because Jesus did rise, we have hope. But Jesus is risen from the dead. This is the turning point for the believer, for those who profess Christ as their Lord and Savior, that Jesus being alive, it's not just a story that we believe, but it must be something that we surrender our lives to. Because Jesus did rise, death is not the end. Because Jesus did rise, the grave is not final. Because Jesus did rise, those who have fallen asleep in Christ will rise with Christ. So what does this mean for you? What does this mean for me? What does it mean for us today? That means that death is defeated. That death is no longer the end, but it's a doorway into the perfect peace and rest of God. Some of you may fear death. But here's the deal. Here's the overwhelming statistic. 10 out of 10 people are going to die. 100% of the time. All the time. They're going to die. And we will one day be face to face with our Maker, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, Jesus the Christ. And we will give an account one day of how we spent the little short time that we had on this earth. Some of us have 15 years, some of us have 50 years, some of us have 80 years, we don't know how much time we have left. But every time that the Lord blesses us with, we will have to give an account for how we spent those days, those months, those years, those decades. And because Jesus did rise from the grave, he has given us power here on earth. See, this isn't just about the afterlife, right? This isn't just about after we die. This isn't just about heaven. What this is about, the resurrected life, is about empowerment for living our lives today. It's not just like when I die, then I'll get to see Jesus. That is not the gospel message. See, the power of the resurrection is so that you and I could live our lives empowered by the Spirit to walk like Jesus walked here today. To love like Jesus loved here today. This is why the gospel, this is why the resurrection is everything for the believer, because it's not just about what happens after we die on this earth, but it's about how we're living today. And so, since Jesus rose from the grave, death is defeated, your sin can be forgiven today, that you can live a new life today. Your past doesn't have to define you. Your past doesn't have to have the final word. Grace has the final word. Jesus himself has the final word. There's nothing you do or have done or could do that could ever completely separate you from the chance of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is the power of the resurrection. And not only did Jesus rise, but the Bible tells us that he ascended on high to the sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's ruling, he's reigning today, and he's interceding for us today. That means that Jesus isn't just a past figure, someone that we read about in an ancient book, but he is alive and well today. He is ruling and reigning, interceding on your behalf, and he is for you. He loves you. He cares for you, and it's his desire to empower you to live a new, changed life. And here's why this matters, because the same power, the same spirit, Romans tells us this, that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives in you and in me, if you're a follower of Jesus. That means this, that Jesus isn't just a past figure, but he is a present Savior. Because Jesus didn't just rise from the grave, he reigns. And because he reigns, you and I can walk from and for victory. But here's the thing. We can believe this is true and still be lost. We can celebrate it here this morning on Easter Sunday, but still be dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, Paul says. So I have a few questions for us as we close. Has your life been changed by the resurrection? Is there evidence of new life by the resurrection? Do you know him or just know about him? So, what if Jesus didn't rise? Then none of this matters. You're still in your sin. You're powerless to overcome it. Your sin belongs to you. You're on death row. But because Jesus did rise, our sin is defeated, that death is conquered, that life is available, and life more abundantly, Jesus talks about. So the question no longer is, did it happen? The question is this, has the resurrection changed you? Because if Jesus is alive, then he's not just someone that we admire, not just someone that we half-heartedly show up a couple times a year, throw a few bucks in the plate and call it a day, but he's someone that we must surrender to. Because again, this is not a warning. This is just what God's word says. We will give an account one day. Every single one of us, myself included, will stand before the risen Jesus and give an account for how we spent our life, how we sacrificed or didn't sacrifice, how we lived hypocritically or with integrity. But we will give an account one day before Jesus and how we spent our lives. And our eternity hinges on that question, is has the resurrection changed you? This isn't about showing up to church more. This isn't about giving money to some organization so they can go on trips. This is nothing about any of that stuff. What this is about is whether or not you have new life in you, or if you're still dead in your sins. Because the reality is that if Jesus is still alive, which he is, we need to be alive in and through him. The good news is that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. We know this. And we don't have to stay in our graves. So I ask the question, do you know him? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, grateful and thankful. We thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to stand before a holy God, worship before a holy God, worship before a risen Savior, and proclaim your death until you come again. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the morality that it puts on display for us. And I just pray for anyone here this morning that maybe doesn't know you, Jesus, that you would stir in their heart. Lord, just what a life-changing experience it could be to come to really know you. Lord, and your desire is that none should perish, that all would come to everlasting life. Your word says that. So Jesus, would you do a work that only you can do? God, we love you. Pray these things in your name. Amen. So ushers are going to be handing out communion. This is something that we have chosen to do as a church every week. And communion is just a symbol. And there's nothing magical about it. The juice is just juice. It doesn't turn into blood. The cracker, it's just a cracker. It doesn't turn into the flesh of Jesus. But it represents those things. It represents Easter Sunday. It represents Good Friday. It represents Silent Saturday. It represents this weekend that Jesus, on your behalf, on my behalf, went to the cross, died a horrible death, so that in exchange, we could have newness of life in Christ. And so, over the last few songs, we're going to partake of communion just as individuals, just as the Lord leads. Take this time to prayerfully take a walk with the message here this morning. The Bible instructs us that if we're not believers, if we have not given our hearts and lives to Jesus, then this isn't for you. That we don't want to partake of communion in an unworthy manner. But here's the beautiful thing. The beautiful thing about communion and the beautiful thing about salvation and this Easter message is that it's available for every single person in this room and beyond. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can't think of a better day to start that new relationship with him than on Easter Sunday, the Sunday that we represent Jesus being raised from the dead. See, the Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, that you will be saved. That means we don't earn it. That means we don't have to clean up our lives. That means the stupid thing you did last night or yesterday or last week, Jesus will forgive that. His desire is to forgive that. So you don't have to be a certain way before you come to Christ. He wants you as you are. You don't earn salvation. You don't clean yourself up in order to be worthy of salvation. You just believe and you surrender. I'm just wondering here this morning if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus. And I'm not looking to single anybody out. I'm not looking to embarrass anybody. But here's the deal. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. If you deny me before man, then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. But here's the good news. If you profess me before man, then I will profess you before my Father who is in heaven. So there has to be some skin in the game. Right? It has to be a commitment that we make. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you think you know Jesus, but you realize that the Lord has been stirring up something in your heart, and you realize that, man, I'm kind of half-hearted in this thing. I got one foot in the world. I got one foot in this church thing, and I'm feeling convicted, and I feel like I need a new shot. I need a new chance. I need a new life. Well, then I would just encourage you to do this. We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask you, everyone's eyes are going to be bowed. Everyone's head's going to be closed. I'm going to ask you just to look at me. You don't have to put your hand up. I just want to be able to make eye contact so I can put a face to the name that I'm praying for. It's not about, I'm not going to even say, I see your hand. It's not a show. This is life and death. This is eternity hanging in the balance. I just want to know that one day I will be in heaven with you. Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Jesus, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in and through the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word. Lord, I pray for anybody out there right now that doesn't know you, Jesus, that you would draw them to yourself. Jesus, you said, if I would be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. That is what we have done this morning. We have lifted up the name of Jesus. We have preached the gospel, and we have talked about the power of the resurrection. Jesus, I know that there's somebody out there or somebody's out there that you have been doing a work in their heart even before they showed up here this morning, and today is going to be the day of salvation. Now, if that is you, I just want to encourage you just to look up this way so I can pray for you. I'm not planning to embarrass you, or I'm not, I promise I won't. I will not embarrass you. I just want to know so I can pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're in a different camp. Maybe your camp that you're in is, I need to come back. I've strayed. I've fallen off. I've fallen into the lie that I can do this Christian life apart from community, apart from accountability, apart from discipleship. I just have my own personal relationship, and I'll just keep it to myself. Well, Jesus would say that you need to be in fellowship with other believers. And it's not just for you, but it's for the other believers as well. So if that's you and you realize, man, I need to get back. I need to come back. I need to come back to you, Lord. And you simply pray a prayer like this. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I believe that you rose. Lord, but my life doesn't always represent a risen king. So God, would you change my heart and change my life and align my heart, my life, my values with yours? Lord, and help me to be a good example to my family, my friends, my coworkers, my parents, whatever it might be. Lord, help me to be that example, God, that you want me to be. Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry. I've strayed. And I thank you for your forgiveness. So over the next couple songs, go ahead and take the communion elements. You can partake as a family, as individuals, however you see fit. But just really contemplate the resurrection, what it means. Because the tomb is empty. The question is, are you still empty?